I'm here to fight, baby. Seth Rollins, get your ass out here, boy. When I show up, it's business time, baby. That's what I thought, baby. Baby, baby, baby. Baby, baby, baby.
I used to travel in the shadows, and I never found the nerve to try and walk up to you. But now I am a man, and I know there is no time to waste. There's too much to lose. The Smithereens, a girl like you. R.I.P. to lead singer Pat DiNizio, who died today.
No.
Yeah, no, I really like the Smithereens. Two competitors for Brock for Rumble. Two referees for the main event, Clash of Champions Sunday. Teams of two for the Mixed Match Challenge on Facebook. NXT is ready for its close-up. We missed it, because why would you run a show at the same time as your other shows? So we watched on the network instead. This is Shake Them Ropes. That's Rob. I'm Jeff. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, so I turn it. I go, why is Thor playing right now?
Yeah, why is Thor on?
And it's like, oh, did they run it at 7? And then people, did you get the memo, stupid? I'm like, yeah, well, I would think that if they were doing this as a, oh, I don't know, test for ratings, you'd want to do it when they actually, I don't know, record ratings. Who knows?
No, the episode aired at 7 p.m. tonight, and then the WWE Network aired the rest of it. And WWE Network had an Ember Moon Peyton Royce match that did not air on NXT TV on USA, apparently. Instead, a Ember Moon video package appeared. So there was
Why would you put over women's wrestling where the women's wrestling is the best too?
Well, I mean, a little highlight of the star. If you thought that a video package on your, it was a good package, but if you thought that was going to be better for a broader audience who might not be familiar with Ember Moon, maybe you do the video package to show them who your champion is. Maybe that does a better job of relaying who your champion is than one match against, you know, Peyton Royce.
Oh, that's not even the I mean, I just think 7 o'clock is a bad time. Right. Just overall. So that was my only beef with it.
Yeah, it was a special event. It's WWE week. I'm happy they're on there.
I'm happy they tried. I'm happy they're trying to put this on there. It just seems a little timid to put it on an hour before, you know, real ratings come out.
Yeah, no, I got you. I understand. But at this point, ratings don't matter for anybody, do they? I mean, let's be real.
Certain scripted programming might disagree with you there.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of scripted programming, this weekend, Sunday, we have WWE Clash of Champions.
Yes.
Which is an upcoming professional wrestling pay-per-view event and WWE Network event produced by WWE for the SmackDown brand. So says Wikipedia. I remember when Wikipedia used to have the entries that went even longer than that. Like there were 5 second long five sentence long paragraphs about how storylines are predetermined. Like every single Wikipedia entry had, you know, a network event produced by WWE for the SmackDown brand, which will feature 8 professional wrestling matches scripted and choreographed beforehand, or whatever it used to say.
Well, now all those editors are on Twitter, so it doesn't.
Yeah, everyone's gone. I mean, all these WWE writers are out there just talking about, hey, back in our day, which was a year ago when we were still there.
Did you listen to the interview? Tom, I forgot his last name.
Did I interview him?
No. Did you listen to it? The former head writer of WWE.
Right. Did I interview him?
No. Did you listen to the interview?
Yeah. Did I interview him?
No. Did you?
No. Then of course I didn't listen to it, because I only listen to things I'm on.
Okay. It's interesting in some ways. It really is. And the Paige interview with Lillian is worth a listen to, I think, this week.
Yeah, I'll check it out when I interview her. Clash of Champions is this week. Your kickoff show match is Zack Ryder versus Mojo Rawley.
Mojo?
Changing gimmicks here.
How are you?
Let's face it here.
Hold on. What's your gimmick now? Is that the Ted Knight gimmick you were doing just earlier there?
I'm the most important broadcaster you've ever heard.
I am a very important broadcaster. I have tons of awards and accomplishments.
Let's not go meta. Let's just get your gimmick out of the way. What is
Zack Ryder Mulhrally? Zack Ryder for a month turned on Mojo, didn't give a shit about this tag team, was the heel. And Mojo Rawley was like, come on, man. I just want to be best friends. I just want to go out there and wrestle. And now all of a sudden, Mojo Rawley's the bad guy and Zack Ryder's going to be gone in a month. The hell's going on, Jeff?
I don't think he's gone in a month. I think they'll keep him around just to keep him around because they know that he'll stay. Mojo by murder death. I mean, they're going to try and see what they have with Mojo.
10-minute-long pre-show match ending in murder death.
Push. They're going to have a half-ass push. They're going to see if they can get Gronk for Mania. Oh.
Yep, they're definitely going to see if they can get Gronk for Mania.
And if they can't, then they're going to pull the plug on
him. I mean, they got Gronk last time for that little battle royal. And I'm thinking, like, what's Mojo Rawley going to do this year? It seems like he would be tailor-made to be the heel winner of the battle royal. But they just did that last year. Granted, he was a babyface. But they did the gimmick of him winning that battle royal 1 year ago with Gronk interfering. At this point, if they get Gronk, he's probably in a singles match of some kind. If they don't get him, he's probably still in a singles match of some kind. I mean, are you going to put him back in the battle royal? No, you can put him in a U.S. title match with somebody. You can have Mulhrally versus Bobby Roode as a WrestleMania singles match, probably on a pre-show. But I think this is the year Mojo gets a singles match. And I have to think they turned him heel here after a month of him being the babyface guy on the other side of Zack Ryder, that they have a plan for him. And it could be a long-term plan. And when I say long-term, I mean 4 months, because let's be real, that's the most long-term you have. WrestleMania match with Mojo Rawley going up against a Bobby Roode, going up against an AJ Styles. I mean, last week we were talking about what could AJ Styles do in the singles match at WrestleMania, and we were talking about all these cool things that he could do, and guess what? It's going to be Mojo Rawley.
You're so wrong on this.
What am I wrong on? I'm just saying what they could do. I'm not saying what they will do. I mean, I am not one who offers predictions on this show. I never predict things because you never know what's going to happen. I don't do predictions. Never have, never will.
Mojo's winning the match. Let's move on.
Yes, he is. AJ Styles versus Jinder Mahal. This is a match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship of the globe. AJ coming in as champion. Jinder Mahal, there was a lot of talk that he could win the belt back. Maybe on SmackDown TV, maybe on this pay-per-view. After the demolishing of Jinder at the hands of Triple H in WWE India. This is also Jinder Mahal's last stand. Like, WWE SmackDown doing some cleaning out. They're cleaning out Zack Ryder. Cleaning out Jinder Mahal here. Jinder Mahal's going to lose. AJ's going to win. We are one step closer to AJ versus Nakamura inside the dome at WrestleMania.
I tend to agree. I hope they don't give the belt back to Jinder. I really do. I hope they don't. I think there's still a 15% chance they do, though.
I believe your 15% chance is 15% too high.
Okay.
Too high. Are you ill, Jeff?
No. I just had to clear my throat.
Is the smoke coming to you?
No. It's not that close.
Not that close. Is it better this week than it was last week when we talked? Because last week you were surrounded by fire.
I think the fire's still going. I just don't have as much smoke in the locality for some reason. I think the winds are just blowing the other way.
I know that I was watching something on the news today that one of the fires is like put out. Like, they got one of them, but there's still like four more to go.
Can I tell you how bad a person I am? I haven't even paid attention to the fire. I really haven't.
Isn't that an LA thing? That's an LA thing, right? Like, there's someone in their house right now that's their house is getting consumed by fire and they're not even paying attention.
Look, there's two things. Number one, this fire is not going to affect me, so I don't care. Number two, it is L.A. If the fire did affect me, unless I have a pet, no one's going to care if I burn up.
Unless you have a pet? The pet needs to save you? Is that what you're saying?
No, people, let me, in L.A., if your place is on fire and you have a pet, that pet's getting rescued 90% of the time before you are.
Not you, though.
Yep. No, not you. Nope. Screw you.
Yeah, screw you. Well, speaking of On Fire, this Clash of Champions show.
Nice.
If you don't have Clash of Champions tickets, if you are in the... Where is this pay-per-view even happening? It is happening at the TD Garden. Any chance John Cena makes a miraculous appearance?
I think there's a chance.
I thought there was a big chance he was going to be somewhat involved in this pay-per-view because it's Boston. It's a SmackDown show. But then he appeared at Survivor Series, and that kind of put it all out because his appearance at Survivor Series was his appearance for the rest of this year, it seems like. I mean, I think John Cena's return is going to be on Christmas Day on that Christmas Day Raw.
That wouldn't be a bad call either. I mean, he has that movie coming out. He needs to do the...
It's true. That's true. Promotion. Ferdinand. Golden Globe nominated Ferdinand. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, this John Cena, and I tweeted out at Shake Them Ropes on Twitter. I tweeted out because I had this thought, like, he got nominated for a Golden Globe here. And of course, it's for Best Animated Movie. He's an actor in it. He's not the producer or anything like that. So he doesn't actually get credit for the Golden Globe, but hey, it's his movie. He's in that movie that's being nominated for Best Animated Feature. And it really made me start to think that, you know, John Cena is going to start doing these bigger and better roles. He's got a movie out there that had like a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. That wasn't a big theater deal, but it was streaming or it was somewhere. And he was getting rave reviews for his performance in this. We are coming up on the time where John Cena will start getting nominations and could start getting Oscar buzz and could start being in these movies that are revered.
I wouldn't go so far as the nominations, but let's put it this way. Dwayne is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Mm-hmm. I think that's a goal.
John Cena is going to. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I don't think he's going to. Movies. I think it's a goal, though.
Well, I think he might. I think he will at some point. I think John Cena will. It might take some time. But, I mean, this guy, John Cena, future Oscar winner.
Him and Meryl Streep, right? Yeah.
John Cena may not be in Boston for Clash of Champions, but you certainly could be. And you can find the best deals on tickets at SeatGeek. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated and confusing, but there is a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event, including WWE Clash of Champions. Maybe you're looking for Royal Rumble or WrestleMania tickets down the line, too. Maybe you didn't get them on the on-sale dates. Download the SeatGeek app right now. Use promo code STR and get $20 off your first purchase. Go do it right now. SeatGeek saves you time, money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. No going around through all these seating charts and figuring out where is seat H8 in row 192. Just find the value button. Get the best seats for the money. Go to SeatGeek right now. Jeff, you have the SeatGeek app.
I do.
Have the SeatGeek app. We've been looking. You were looking at Royal Rumble tickets. I was looking at this Christmas Day Raw, thinking just maybe it's 2 hours away. I might possibly make the appearance in Chicago for Christmas Day Raw. Possibly.
Really?
Maybe. Okay. I don't know. I it's probably unlikely. My wife really wants to go see Naomi. She wants to go see SmackDown sometime. And Naomi's her favorite. She wants to go watch Naomi. And anytime we end up going to a WWE live event, you can be assured we'll be finding our seats on SeatGeek. Check it out right now. Listeners to STR, that's Shake Them Ropes, that's this website, that's this podcast. Mm-hmm. Listeners right now, if you download SeatGeek, you get $20 off your first purchase by using the promo code STR. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code STR. That's promo code STR for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase on iOS, on Android, phone, tablet. Go download it today.
I think I'm going to use it in this next week or two to go to a hockey game.
Hey, there you go. You got the Los Angeles Kings?
Kings, yes, sir.
Oh, that's right. California and their Kings. Big into their Kings out there.
I'm a former season ticket holder. So.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
Of the Los Angeles Kings. Was this in the Gretzky era?
No. This is prior to the Stanley Cup era, although I did...
I don't know.
Actually, I used SeatGeek to find... He's for Stanley Cup, so that's cool.
There you go.
Cool.
There you go. You had a World Series in your town, too, not too long ago. How'd that go for you?
Did not go to it. Did not spend that money, and now I'm going to the Rumble instead with that money.
Interesting. AJ Styles is going to beat Jinder.
Yes, I think so, and then we'll be done with Jinder's plaid shirts.
Does Baron Corbin defeat Dolph Ziggler to retain the title, or does Bobby Roode pinned Dolph Ziggler to win the title.
I believe Baron Corbin pins Dolph Ziggler, who made both those guys look like a million bucks on Tuesday, I thought. I thought the punch he took from Corbin and then the glorious DDT he took, where he basically got horizontal, I thought that was pretty good. But yeah, that's Dolph's job, and that's what he's going to do.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
In 2018, is this a match that will happen? Dolph Ziggler versus Cody Rhodes.
Ooh. I am going to say, yes.
I would hedge towards that. I would say Cody Rhodes, Dolph Ziggler.
I have no idea where.
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't know which federation.
Could it be in WWE? Could it be in New Japan? Could it be in Ring of Honor? Could it be some Northeast Wrestling Indie? Could it be WrestlePro in the Jersey
area? Might be like bar wrestling here in California.
It could be. It could be Battle of Los Angeles. It could be a number of different things. But I think Cody Rhodes versus Dolph Ziggler is going to happen. It's going to happen at some point. But it won't be for the U.S. Championship.
No.
Because that belt is going to be won by Robert Roode.
You'd think so.
This Sunday.
Pull the trigger on him.
I think they're going Bobby Roode. I think they're going Bobby Roode, and I think Randy Orton is turning bad.
I'm thinking that too, but we'll get into
Randy
that.
Orton was a little too chippy, a little too chipper on SmackDown, a little too into teaming with Shinsuke Nakamura, a little bit too into defending the SmackDown brand against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I think we're getting Randy Orton bad headed into WrestleMania.
Sorry.
Don't interrupt the master of segues, Robert.
You're throwing in a pick for a match we're not even talking about.
Here's the thing right now, all right? I got no plan. I got the Wikipedia page up for Clash of Champions. I had so much I wanted to talk about. I still got to talk about how shitty week two of the Broken Matt saga was. I mean, we got so much stuff to talk about. I just got no plan. I'm winging it.
Show prep. Keep going.
Hey, Mr. Show Prep, me. I had 2 weeks of show prep like crazy. And then tonight I was like, all day I was thinking show prep. But what are we going to talk about here? And I'm like, all right, we got Clash of Champions. That'll just come to us. We got Woken Matt, who did the same thing as last week, and it was shittier this week. And Woken Matt's going to go nowhere. And to think, I thought this guy might be in the title hunt on Raw in February. Actually, still might be. I think Woken Matt's going to end up in that Elimination Chamber match, whether it's for the championship or whether it's for a shot at WrestleMania, still to be determined, but he'll be in that Elimination Chamber match. Anyway, Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, tag team special. We got two refs for it now. We got Shane McMahon. We got Daniel Bryan. We got the old gimmick where there's the enforcer at ringside, basically, except they're both in the ring as referees.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this when Shane McMahon was the referee for Kevin Owens' match several months ago against AJ. Like, the whole reason they put Shane in there was because he can't clear Daniel Bryan. He can't put him in harm's way. What happens if he gets hurt in a ring, even if he is just a referee? Well, hey, good news for D-Bry. This guy's cleared to be a referee. He's going to be in that ring. He might even take a bump. Who knows? Could we see Daniel Bryan take a bump in this match? And if so, he's wrestling at WrestleMania. It's happening. Daniel Bryan's biggest moment in his professional career happened in New Orleans at the Pontiac Silverdome. All right. Could it happen there again?
At the Pontiac Silverdome in New Orleans? Really, Paul?
That was the gimmick. Do you remember that Hogan promo?
I remember that too.
Yes. It's amazing I remembered it because it happened 4 years ago. And you know my memory. It's not the best. That's why I was a WCW fan.
Yeah, I don't think Daniel Bryan's taking a bump, and I think they've been pushing too hard this notion that he may go heel, especially on that commentary where basically they just let him be a wild card.
That Daniel Bryan would go heel?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They were really pushing that on commentary a bit. The problem is,
at some point, Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon are going to be on opposite ends here, but it would be dumb as hell to make Daniel Bryan the bad guy and try to push Shane as the good guy, because no one's going to buy that.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know if they're going to go full on Shane as a heel here, because look, it would be a shame if we didn't get to see Sammy and Kevin in masks after being fired. I think that'd be hilarious. I'd love to see Daniel Bryan as a heel, but their instincts are their instincts. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are not main event heels to them. They're comedy heels. They're doing a comedy act here. Something needs to be done to lend it some gravitas. I think Shane and Randy, as the quote-unquote stars of this match, end up getting into it. Randy RKOs Shane, RKOs Nakamura. Daniel Bryan, to be the fair referee, ends up counting the three, and that starts tension. Again,
there'll be tension. There is going to be tension. Undeniable. And it might be too much to have Randy Orton go bad in this match. Like, I don't think it's happening this Sunday, because there's the bigger story.
Hold on. It may not even be bad. Okay. It may not be heel. It may be because, you know, they've been kind of patterning him in this later stage as the Stone Cold. So it just might be another McMahon versus rebellious baby face type storyline, so to speak.
I just don't see much happening, you know, different between Randy Orton and Shinsuke, because this whole match is the story of Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan. It's the continual Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn outcasting. So Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura are kind of bit players in this little part right here. They could win the match. And that's the next few weeks of television headed into the Royal Rumble. Is Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens wear masks, or they boycott outside of SmackDown? Something happens. You could do the old deal where everyone thought Steve Austin was fired, but Linda McMahon actually promoted him and hired him back, so he was there, and you have some higher power.
Yeah, and I put it forward last week that maybe even Shane joins KO and Sammy. Because that's kind of their instinct also is, oh, I respect you for making this move
You could do that wackiness. There's different directions you can go. I think if they're going to try and make Daniel Bryan a heel, that's a mistake, because people would be super into a trio of Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens, no matter how annoying they might be.
Yeah.
They would become baby faces by proxy.
It's just, it's very weird how it ended, because it's one of those things where it's like, well, if it ended, usually they do the thing. If it ended like this, KO and Sammy would be fired on Sunday, you know, and then they somehow sneak out the win. But it's just, it goes against their typical logic to give the guy who's losing the win on the go home show.
When Vince finally tried to fire Steve Austin, it was because he had enough. Like, he could never fire Steve Austin, because Steve Austin, you know, in storyline was this big star and was making so much money, like you couldn't fire him. And then it just got ridiculous and he had to do it. It doesn't feel like we've really gotten to that point with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, even though it's probably true. Like, Shane McMahon lost Survivor Series because of these two assholes. Like, he needs to get rid of them. But kicking him out of the entire WWE is just spiteful. Shane McMahon's a spiteful dude at this point.
It kills me that people think that they were taken off the tour as part of the storyline, and then they end up doing this with it. Because I'm like, how do you connect those two things? If they thought that was going to get heat for this storyline, then you have KO and Sammy be far more serious than they are, as opposed to this goofy entertaining stuff.
Sami Zayn's a guy without a country right now. He's laughing about it. He's lost nothing. He has nothing to lose, I should say. He's doing whatever. It's not like he's fighting, like, oh, my livelihood is at stake here. He's just being goofy.
He's not angry. He's trolling. You know,
pointing out the hypocrisies.
Yeah.
But he's doing it from the inside right now. For right now, could it change? Could he be fighting from the outside here soon? It depends. I'm going to go with, well, for one, Sami Zayn was announced for this mixed match. What is it called? Mixed match challenge on Facebook Live. WWE's new show.
He's on the advertising.
He's on the roster.
Advertising.
He's on the roster.
Oh, have they announced the SmackDown part of the roster?
I don't believe so, but he's on it.
Yeah.
That's all I know. I don't know this whole thing yet. I'm not going to really pay too much attention to this until closer to when it actually comes along. It's another show where WWE is promising, you know, a unique presentation.
Filler. It's like, filler.
Well, like how it's NXT filler. Was supposed to be. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a test. It's more than just filler. It's a test to see if they can be, if they can do something outside of network television, outside of cable television, try something different than the WWE Network while at the same time advertising the WWE Network on a new platform through Facebook, possibly looking into broader rights fee ownership later on for their TV shows. Like, could Facebook be a viable owner of the rights for Raw and SmackDown? Twitter, Amazon Video, whatever. This is a pretty important test for WWE. I think they're going to put some muscle behind it because it is a limited series. It's not something that is set to be a 52-week show. It is a limited series, and it's a pretty big test for them for their rights fee.
If it is, they're not taking it that seriously, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, they just announced it today. What do they have to take seriously?
Well, no, it's that this stuff doesn't, this is a, how do I put this? In comic book land, this is a limited series that's outside of canon. It doesn't matter. It's not important. It's not important to the overall product. So why?
I don't think you can do canon stuff with this show right now when it's a limited series and it's a big test. You got to put the big stars on there. You got to give them something unique to actually watch for, because if they were just giving them a WWE main event television show or a 205 Live television show or a WWE Superstars television show, no one would watch it.
I agree with that in some ways, but it's a nice little gimmick, but it's like one of those things where it's like, well, why do I care if, say, Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss are teaming together against?
Because what the fuck kind of team is that?
That's the whole point. It's meant for the visual, and it's not important to the rest of the product. Oh,
Braun and Alexa teaming, I would watch that. I would join Facebook just to watch that.
You're going to get Nia and Enzo, because that's going to happen. You're going to get Bayley and Finn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get Bayley and Finn jobbing to Braun and Alexa, and that would be the greatest thing ever.
Well, let's put it this way. Okay, they tried doing this when the Divas Revolution happened in terms of getting over the women, and it didn't work then. They had Roman team with Sasha, I think, against I forgot who it was. I think it was it doesn't matter. It didn't go over well, and it didn't work all that well. The gimmick part of it is what's selling this, as opposed to I don't see how it drives fans to it. Let's put it that way.
All right, well, I need you to stop getting me off track, okay? We're trying to talk about Clash of Champions here. You keep bringing up all this nonsense. Back,
sure thing, Hardy.
Back to focus.
Mm-hmm.
Breezango going up against Harper and Rowan, the Bludgeon Brothers tag team match. Jeff, you're a big tag team fan.
I am.
Scale of 1 to 10. This match, your grade, go.
2.
What? What? Are you nuts? Are you crazy? This is at least a 3.
It's going to be a semi-squash. Breezango's probably going to dress up in an outfit at some point.
Naturally.
And then Harper Bludgeon's going to kill someone.
What is this pay-per-view called? Clash of Champions. That doesn't really fit with... I don't know if Breezango can costume up in Clash of Champions type regalia.
It's going to be the janitor outfit again.
Yeah. Sailor, maybe. They were sailors not too long ago. Was it on this week's or last week's television? I can't remember. They're going to lose. Rowan and Harper are going to win big. They are not one of the four teams in the Fatal 4-Way tag team match, but at some point here, got to be involved in the tag team scene, or else they're just squashing dudes just to squash dudes. Explain the rules to me. Fatal 4-Way tag team match for the WWE SmackDown tag team titles, The Usos, The New Day, Shelton Benjamin and Gable, Rusev and Aiden English. If I heard this correctly, a participant can only tag in his tag team partner.
Yes, it's to get around. It's to. But that's to get around the New Age Outlaws rule. Or
where they can just be both in the match and pin.
And pin one another. Yeah.
Yes. Well, that seems ridiculous. The ref shouldn't count that. I mean, that's the way to get around it, is the ref. Don't be a dumbass. Don't count for one partner pinning their own partner.
Look, Rob, they're trying.
But here's where it doesn't make sense. Okay. Are you going to have all four dudes? I mean, this isn't a tornado tag, right? You're not going to have all four dudes. You're going to have all eight guys just in the ring melee all over the place.
No. It's like a four corners match.
Okay. So it's a four corners match. You're going to have four dudes in the ring at the same time. Four dudes on the outside waiting for tags at the same time. This is going to be a mess.
Yes, it is.
This is going to be a mess.
That's the whole point. The whole point was to get four teams in there.
Right. But you can't do, you can't just have two guys in there. You know, a fatal four-way tag team match, you'd have two guys in the ring. You would have the four teams on the outside, two full teams on the outside, while the two partners of the guys in the ring are out there. And if you're only able to tag your tag team partner, the two guys, the two teams who aren't in the match can't possibly win. So you're going to have all four guys in the ring at the same time. It's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a mess. And obviously, at some point, they're going to be outside the ring. They'll be fighting all over the place. You're going to have all eight guys brawling at some point. It's going to be haywire. You're going to have whoever in New Day isn't involved in the match out there just beating people up and getting in fights as well. This is going to be a cluster of epic proportions. And I don't think they thought through that whole you can only tag your own partner in very well.
I don't think they care particularly, and that's one of the reasons why we have four teams in a match.
This is like the semi-main event of the show.
No one's been more devalued in this entire thing than Gable and Benjamin. I mean, my God, they were the number one contenders, and then all of a sudden two other teams get added to their quote-unquote feud.
And Bludgeon Brothers are more important on television canon right now, too.
Exactly, and Gable's doing bad comedy again. Which just, I understand what they're trying to do, but that segment last night came off poor for him. Aiden English is eating the pin from one of the Usos. We know that what's going to happen here.
Aiden English will lose. The Usos will win. They will remain tag team champions. And they go into Royal Rumble, possibly facing off with still the New Day, possibly in a triple threat with Shelton and Gable, possibly just wrestling Shelton and Gable to get that title defense out of the way. The Bludgeon Brothers at some point, WrestleMania is going to come around. It's not too far away, and I can see them having another multiple team match at WrestleMania because you got the Bludgeon Brothers on the rise. You got the New Day who are going to be involved in something. They can't go 2 years in a row as the hosts of WrestleMania. They got to be in a match this time. We have, and who knows if the Revival will come back to Raw or if they're going to go to the SmackDown brand when Scott Dawson's ready. Is it Scott Dawson who was hurt? Yeah, it was Dawson who was hurt.
Yeah. I think the Bludgeon Brothers are going to be in the Rumble, though, because they always put the big guys in the Rumble so that someone looks impressive.
Yeah. Big tag teams. Hey, let me ask you this. The Ascension on SmackDown.
Yes.
What if a team like, I don't know, I'm just going to guess one, War Machine, New Japan Ring of Honor. If a team like War Machine happened to sign with WWE, obviously a little bit different gimmick, but are they not pretty similar to the Ascension on SmackDown?
They're pretty similar to the Bludgeon Brothers too.
Pretty similar to the Bludgeon Brothers. Are they not a bigger version of the Revival as well?
No.
Okay.
They'd be put on Raw also to keep them away from those similar teams.
It's just, you got these tag teams on the, we'll call them the independent scene. You know, the War Machine are working with the other two biggest companies in the world. If they keep signing tag teams, I mean, you got plenty of tag teams in the world right now. You got more tag teams on SmackDown and Raw than they've had in some time. And they're not doing anything with them. You still got the Usos and the New Day who are the top two draws on SmackDown. And right now on Raw, the tag team champs are kind of in that storyline with the Shield, where it's not really about the tag team belts, just about those three guys going after the Shield, Samoa Joe, Cesaro, and Sheamus. The tag belts kind of being secondary. You don't have a tag team division right now on Raw because the Hardys aren't there. The Dudleys aren't there anymore. You have Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson who are wrestling prelim matches with Heath Slater and Rhino. Those are the other two teams in the division. Like, who would have thought that show needs the Revival to come back like fast?
No, because Vince doesn't consider tag teams important.
I get it. I mean, I get that. But at some point, you have a 3-hour show. You're going to run it with the Shield gimmick. You're going to run it with Kane. You don't really have tag team matches on that show unless they're two single stars fighting together.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Fuck the Revival then, I guess.
was this entire segment just a setup for that punchline?
It was not. Charlotte Flair and Natalya in a lumberjack match. This is for the SmackDown Women's Championship of the Globe. Natalya, the former champion, Charlotte, the current champion, Ruby Riott, superstar. Who would have thought? Ruby Riott's coming on this show. She's taking it to Charlotte. She's probably going to be a future champion in Charlotte's way to 16 title reigns. You got Carmella with the Money in the Bank match. Maybe something happens with that. Is this going to be like one of those predictable, like Charlotte Flair just wins because a whole bunch of fluke shit happens? Or could we see a Money in the Bank cash in on this show? Is this the right time?
It feels like it, because this feels like the kind of match with all the lumberjacks out there where one of the competitors would just get the crap beat out of them and give someone an easy win. And I don't think that Charlotte and Ruby Riott as a feud need the belt necessarily. So, I mean, I could definitely see Natty getting cashed in on by Carmella. Will they? I don't know. I like your call of Charlotte winning and possibly instantly losing because to get her to 16, because they're going to try that, I think. I think you're dead on about that. You always go with Charlotte as a safe pick going into the new year, but I could see them not wanting to put the belt on her until it's a big show, so it might wait till Rumble. My prediction last night was that Carmella leaves with the title.
Ooh, okay. Carmella leaves with the championship. Royal Rumble is an hour-long match. Could we possibly see a four-hour Royal Rumble pay-per-view this year?
Oh, I have no doubt that it's going to be a four-hour.
Was it 4 hours last year? I can't remember.
I believe it was.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. Because the whole time we talk about what matches can happen at Royal Rumble, you always limit the number because you have an hour and 15 minutes devoted to the Rumble match itself. So it's like you can have the Rumble match and maybe four or five other matches on the show. And you can't do everything on that show, especially if you have a big title match. That 1 year where we had Brock and Dean Ambrose and Roman, like the triple threat, or Seth Rollins and the triple threat, like a pretty big match. It went 20 minutes or so. You had a lot of time devoted to that one match than the Royal Rumble. This year, it seems like there could be like 10 matches set up for the Royal Rumble. And we just can't have that many. We can't have that many. They're going to have to decide what's important, what's not, what can wait till February, what can wait till the Elimination Chamber, what can wait till Fastlane. There's no Goldberg this year to distract everybody. This is a big time in WWE. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Unpredictable. Unpredictable. What else we got? I think that's it. That's the card. 7 matches, 1 pre-show.
No, you missed one.
Let's see. We talked about Baron Corbin. We talked about Charlotte. We talked about the Usos. Talked about Orton tag team match. Talked about Breezango. Talked about Ryder and Moxley. What am I missing?
Cruiserweight.
What about the cruiserweights?
Aren't they having a match? Isn't it Swan and, Cedric Alexander and Drew Gulak?
Yeah, that's on Raw, buddy.
Oh, is it? Okay, my fault.
Yeah, here's the thing about SmackDown. They don't have cruiserweights.
That's true.
Yes. Forgot about that little.
Well, they tape after SmackDown. That's why I was thinking that.
Interesting. You're telling me that there's a cruiserweight show after SmackDown?
I'm gonna punch you in the face.
I don't know. I don't know if that's the Christmas spirit, Jeff.
Oh, bah humbug.
No, don't turn into one of those. Don't turn into that. That is Clash of Champions. Scale of 1 to 10. How hyped?
7.
Oh God, how? 4. This is a SmackDown television show. I feel like I've been watching Randy Orton and Shinsuke battle Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in tag team matches for 5 weeks.
I don't have work the next day. That's why.
Oh, okay. Pretty big time. Yeah.
My last day of work is Friday, so I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, there you go. Last day of work ever?
For 2017.
Oh, okay. And then you get a couple weeks off, huh? Mm-hmm. Look at that. Do anything crazy? Just visiting the old family there?
Visiting the family. Yeah.
Going to the Christmas Day Raw?
Oh, jeez. In Arizona? No, that's you.
It's in Chicago. Mm. Yep. What else? What else are you doing on your 2 week break? This is a big time. We might actually be able to record a show at a decent hour.
No, I'm spending 1 week in Arizona, and then I'm coming back. And I'm spending a week here in LA, just kind of getting my condo together.
Oh, after the fires?
No, just in general. It's one of those things where, because of my sleep schedule and stuff, I'm just too tired to do a lot, and I end up sleeping through Saturday.
Okay. I'm sleeping through Saturday. You know what I was sleeping through on Monday? Was this broken mat segment.
What is wrong with you?
This is what happened, okay? Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy did the exact same segment from last week, except worse. That wasn't appealing. It was cringeworthy. My wife didn't know what the hell was going on. Why is Matt Hardy laughing like a doofus?
I'm cutting you off right here because you obviously don't understand what they're doing right now. They're conditioning. They're just conditioning.
For us to hate their segments?
No, just to get people acclimated into the character. That's all.
All right. Well, this character's got to do something else to get you acclimated, because right now they're getting you acclimated to something that's horrible television. Like, the first week, it was funny. It was cool. Matt Hardy was doing his thing. And then he said the same words 2 weeks in a row. And eventually, this is all leading up to a match between Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy, a match that no one wants to see.
But that's because of Bray.
It's because of both of them. Matt Hardy can't walk, man.
All right.
Matt Hardy can't do anything in the ring. I mean, do you remember any of the matches that he had in TNA when he was this broken Matt character? No one remembers the matches. No one cares about him.
The matches don't matter. What matters are the vignettes, and we're going to be getting something eventually at the Wyatt compound that Randy Orton burned or whatever.
That's right. That's right. Randy Orton burned it. I hope Randy Orton's still there. Like, they do a Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt match at the compound, and Randy Orton's just hanging out. Like, celebrating.
I want the refrigerator. I want the refrigerator back. And
go weird with it. The point is, go weird with it. If you're going to do this, and that's what people are waiting for, go weird with it. Randy Orton should be there just brooding. Gangrel should be there brooding. The Boogeyman should be there. Why not?
Oh, I'm positive the Boogeyman and Gangrel are making an appearance in one of these.
I mean, go, if you're going to go weird with it, if that's the idea, go weird with it. Don't half-ass it, because that promo segment, I'm not poo-pooing broken Matt, all right? First week was awesome. There's potential. It was lame and turn the channel worthy this week. It was a disaster. And where the hell was Elias? If they do the Wyatt compound match, Elias should be there singing during the match.
Oh, no way. You don't want Elias near this thing. He's considered upper mid card over there.
Okay. Well, I mean, he wasn't on Raw this week. And the show missed him. They needed him.
Hmm. I'm not as big a fan of Elias as other people. I don't know why.
All right. Well, quit poo-pooing Elias, sir.
Okay. No, I thought both Raw and SmackDown were very good this week. I thought they were both fun. I know the other neighborhood was poo-pooing the SmackDown show, but I thought it went by quick. I mean, I wasn't bored by it, and
I think the Yep is cute. I think the Yep movement is pretty cute.
Yeah.
Like, it's something. They're selling Yep shirts now. So there's merch for Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
That's exactly why they're not main event heels. That's exactly why, unfortunately.
Right. It's kind of a weird scenario, because in theory, Jinder Mahal's the main event heel and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn don't have to be. But at the same time, Kevin Owens is the main event heel on that show. Like, he's the main event heel, and Sami Zayn is bringing him down a little bit, you know, being involved with Shane McMahon, keeps him at that level. But at the same time, Shane McMahon is Shane McMahon. I mean, I'm tired of seeing this guy in main events. It was cool that he was coming back. All right. The Hell in a Cell with Undertaker. Great. The match with AJ, great. The guy should be toning it down. I don't know why 50-year-old Shane McMahon is out there wrestling more often than Shinsuke Nakamura on pay-per-view.
Yeah, all I could think of was the Kevin Owens 365, which, if I were going to make a log line about, is the story of a man with ambition who is crushed by corporate America. And just, no, I'm going to get this over. It's going to be great. And they don't see it that way. They just see it as a comedy thing to fill time until they get to Orton and McMahon or whatever the hell it is.
Whatever Orton does, because Orton's going to find his way to creep inside the WrestleMania main event again. I mean, he's going to do it another year. He won the Royal Rumble last year, goes in against Bray Wyatt. Harper can't get in. Like, Harper was tailor-made to be in a three-way there, and he can't get in because Randy Orton somehow finds a way. I mean, the guy won the goddamn Royal Rumble last year. Could you believe that? I mean, can you believe that? And it's going to be a Randy Orton type guy this year, because I don't think they do the obvious with Roman Reigns. I think Roman Reigns ends up winning the chamber and gets Brock at WrestleMania. That's fine. Okay. But I don't see Roman winning the Rumble. So what happens? Does a Raw guy win and lose that shot at chamber, or does a SmackDown guy win? Are they going to have Shinsuke Nakamura win? Are they going to have a Randy Orton win again? Like, I don't know what the hell's going on. Unless it's The Undertaker coming back and winning the Royal Rumble, I don't know what the hell they can do unless they do a Randy Orton type win.
There's a lot they can do. Let's just give it time.
The Undertaker's going to win the Royal Rumble.